another podcast here, NWIC, Kumbaya. I'm just kidding. Anyways, hello. I'm Wyatt Sewell. We're doing this podcast, Northwest Indian College, part of the Service Learning Department here, and basically we are sitting down right now with a family member of ours who's traveled here from Montana, and we just kind of want to center this conversation about what the Service Learning Project is trying to do with just, you know, talking to our elders and our community leaders and spiritual leaders, just trying to see what that cultivates. So in this discussion, you know, basically we just want to try to facilitate some sort of, you know, good thoughts and good feelings. So I'll let Jason introduce himself here. He's helping out, and then we'll just try to get to the talk here, and then Jay will interview himself. Yeah, here you go.
Hi, this is Jason Sieber. That's my white man's name. Kilumatin, that's my name. We're here with Jay. We had a good weekend celebrating White Son's birthday. And we're trying to talk about Native science and the environment here at Northwest Indian College and get a different perspective. We got a lot of perspective here from the coast, but we're all about integrating different communities and learning from each other. And we got a value member of our community here with a lot of knowledge and a different perspective than we get to hear most of the time. So with that, we could have Jay introduce himself, I guess.
I could give you a big introduction.
Hello, first of all, my name is Jay Three Bears. I am a member of the Northern Cheyenne Tribe located in southeastern part of Montana, a small tribe, small reservation. Back home, we call it an island. So we live on a little island. And I guess coming here into this northwestern part, I really am intrigued by just the ecosystem that still exists. I'm interested in, the watersheds and just everything. I'm just fascinated with what's happening, how we're trying to manage a better earth, basically. You know, our renegade scientists, you know, they're, you know, kind of scurrying around trying to figure out how to deplete this emissions that's going into the air, you know, the quality of our air, all these kinds of different things that come to mind, you know, as I visit around, and I'm here on a visit to take part in a ceremony, actually conduct the ceremony for my grandson here, and been invited here. I'm really glad that I'm here. Really glad that I'm here at this college here, this tribal college. When I was asked to do this, I have some things I would like to contribute to the mind environment of the students here, the tribal members, even surrounding communities. I think I want to just kind of start by I like to talk about a little bit of how I understand us indigenous people to this continent, a little bit of our history. The indigenous knowledge that existed before the Europeans got to this country or came here, it was very much alive and it was flourishing. Our indigenous knowledge was being applied every day. Each culture, each tribe, very specifically each tribe, but overall as indigenous people, all these teachings were being applied every day. There was a consciousness about that day, no matter if it was before a half moon, or there was a consciousness about where we were kind of in terms of how we were traveling around the sun, you know, the seasons. And there was a consciousness about the kind of kind of like if it was springtime where I'm from, where I come from, you know, we think about the thunder spirit being our helper. And there's certain things that we do every time we hear the thunder, and they're really good teachings. So all tribes all over North America and Canada, you know, we all have our intricate ways of keeping and enlivening our culture. And one way we did that through history was through our oral history, our oral traditions, historical teachings, our storytelling. And we did that around the fire, and we talked to our young ones, and we taught them how to be tribalistic and to look out for one another, and kind of how to have respect, you know, and how to represent your family. And one thing that I've noticed that along the Atlantic coast, when the Europeans got here, it happened too fast. The influx of Europeans happened so fast that a lot of their history is just totally wiped out. You know, I think everybody in America has a memory of opening up their history books. You know, you're in grade school, high school, you read history about the Native Americans, and you kind of get a curiosity about it. They say that the Europeans brought tools and the rifle, and they brought the horse, and they brought they brought sickness too, and they brought many things over with them. And you read that in the history books, but one thing you don't really read in the history books is that they brought over a religion. And they kind of wanted to, you know, in terms of they were operating under this doctrine of discovery. They, you know, they believe that they discovered this place, the Europeans. And so operating under that doctrine that they discovered this place, they because of the how they believed themselves believed us as different, they wanted us to become Christian brothers. So they brought not only tools and all that over there, over here from Europe, they also brought Christianity. They wanted us to all be good Christian brothers, and to forget our Indian religions, our Indian ways. They wanted us to even forget our language. And it's, you know, as I think about it, a lot of those tribes in the East, they lost not only their language, but that oral tradition of just handing down our history from one generation to another, and just how that is an intricate way of keeping our culture alive is through our oral history. So a lot of it was on the East side, I believe it was lost, and this is kind of like maybe 1850 in that century. They got to my people, the High Plains, the Northern Plains, Northern High Plains natives, and specifically my tribe, the Northern Cheyenne people, were called the Morning Star people. And I'm really fortunate to be alive, be in Cheyenne, because we still have our oral traditions. We still very much keep our culture alive, and we still have our language, which is, I see us losing our language too, because a lot of the younger ones are so, you know, wrapped up and consumed by media, and they tend to go through this cultural amnesia kind of thing going on, like they forget who they are. Well, one of the things that has been really on my mind quite a bit was about regarding who we are and our identity. Was I wanted to keep an eye on what's happening with our oral history and how many tribes actually feed their younger tribal members with their oral history. And I think oral history has a lot to do with our identity, you know, as a tribe, and how you were taught by your auntie or uncle or your grandma or your grandpa about our ways. And when that's gone, we have a difficult time with our identity. and that we have a difficult time of where do we fit in, you know, and that alienation, when that sets in and we don't feel like we're a part of anything, that affects our spirit. And so when we begin to see our spirit get emptied by this feeling of alienation, not really knowing where we belong, it affects our spirit in such a way we get so empty in our spirit, we become suicidal or homicidal. You know, we just have an empty spirit. So I really feel for a lot of tribes that had gone through this influx of Europeanism and all the doctors and institutions that had been more or less imposed upon us. A lot of tribes just went right along with it because they were so overwhelmed. There was just so many white people, so many Europeans that came to this country. And we just were so overwhelmed that we just wanted to, just for the basic needs being met. You know, we're kind of like corralled cattle, how you would corral cattle onto reservations, you know, and we were cluttered. And specifically my tribe, we're nomadic and we move around and we follow the migratory route of the buffalo. And once all of a sudden we're put on this reservation and we have to adapt. So being nomadic, we still adapt. We still were able to adapt our ways to just being in one place. And we've done really well. You know, we still have our Sundance Lodge put up every year, you know, even though all those genocidal practices were going on with every tribe. We're very fortunate as a tribe to be able to still put up our lodge every year and to renew. So anyways, I guess back to this indigenous knowledge and how it's passed down through orally through to our younger children. I see that our identity is kind of in a crisis with some tribes, and being conditioned to think tribalistic. You know, I go to some tribes and I for some reason I just feel like I fit in with any tribe because I see what had happened. I saw what had happened. All these doctrines and institutions that came over with the Europeans that they brought with them, they were not questioned. You know, they were not questioned. We just compromised our own cultures. We compromised our own cultures just to fit in because maybe that was that roof over our head, or maybe that was the food on the table for us, or place to sleep. So we compromised our own traditional ways just for survival. And a lot of us natives became Christian, good Christian brothers, you know, and forgot about the sacred bundles and that were really given up. A lot of tribes had given up their sacred bundles. And but yet we have adapted, and we this is how we are today. And I don't know each individually, each tribe, and I don't know their state of affairs, but I can pretty well grasp and get an idea of how it might have went down for each tribe. And when it comes to identity, it doesn't matter if you just had a little bit of native inside your little pinky toe, you know, you're still native. And then there's a lot of people that are not native, that I know some Irish and some Germans that really are, they think like natives because they really care for our, you know, this giver of life, this ultimate giver of life. And in our language, we call her our grandmother, and the dominant society more or less says Mother Earth. But she's the sustainer of all life. You know, she gives us life, and we're just always thankful. And so part of our oral history is to be able to convey to the younger ones, you know, this great respect to have for life, for vegetation, for everything, and your air, the land, the water, you know, it's all, and we're all one with it, you know. And so with identity, I believe that a lot of natives out there that might, you know, do, am I native or not, you know, I'd say just throw that out the window, you know, it's all hogwash. You know, I think, you know, in your heart, you know, you can feel really it's a feeling. It's not just a thought. It's kind of like a feeling. You feel really indigenous to this land because you really make a commitment to really taking care of this land and being connected in your surroundings. And I hear a lot of really good news. You know, I've been into really good conversations while I'm out here. And there is a consciousness and there's an awareness as to what's going on environmentally here in the Northwest. So just being exposed to that kind of information really helps me to know that, you know, we're, you know, the natives here are just not sitting back, you know, and just watching the world go by, and let, you know, let the ones with all the money who make the laws change the laws whenever they want. You know, we're not just here sitting back doing that. I think the natives here collectively developing a consensus, you know, can really be a force. And it's a really wonderful time to be alive today in history, because we have this internet, and we could really develop a consensus about our environment here using the internet, and just really using that internet as a tool, as a really like an asset instead of a liability, to really pull us together, really network, and really have a say so, and really stand up for Mother Earth and what she's about, and the air that we breathe every day, and just the ecosystem and how it's being affected. So we can pull together, and we can still have an identity. And I I would like to also just mention that part of regarding oral history and keeping our culture alive, I think it's, I always try to think of how we are it's part about remembering who we are, not forgetting who we are. When we do that, it's kind of like watering our roots when we remember who we are. And I think all tribes, all cultures, all indigenous people, somewhere in their history, they have a meditative tradition. And meditation is really good nowadays. There's a lot of benefits to meditation. In all tribes, if you look back in your cultural history, there's probably times that you probably meditated and probably closed your eyes for at least 20 minutes, because there's a lot of benefits in that. And you can dive into an ocean of consciousness. You know, there's many people out there that adopt transcendental meditation techniques from India. Well, you know, that's way across the ocean. You know, why don't you look in your own backyard and look to the indigenous people? We have a culture that has meditative traditions. And so we're very rich, we're very abundant in what we have as indigenous people. We have so many beautiful teachings. And I invite all people that are non-native, I invite them to just be open-minded and open-hearted about just the many things that we're able to offer. In fact, we, as indigenous people, you know, we have a lot of teachings to all the lawmakers, our leaders, you know, all the policies that they make about this earth, and just respect for it. So there's many things that we can learn from it. So I like it. I like to say, remember who you are, whatever tribe you're from. And if you're not a native, learn about our culture only to appreciate your own. Remember who we are and continue who we are. Continue, keep it alive, talk to your own children about it. Research your own culture, keep it alive. You know, be excited about it. Be a student of your own culture, really. You know, I am a student of my own culture. I want to understand a little bit more about what it is to be Cheyenne, you know, and I'm just excited. I get excited. I'm very inquisitive about not only all cultures, but my own culture. I'm really, anyways, remember who we are, continue who we are, keep that alive orally, providing storytelling to your children, but and also renew who you are. And I think when we renew who we are, and if we're from a tribe that really doesn't have, you know, the ritual or the full effect or whatever, I think it's really comes down to, and it's not really religion, it's not really ritual. Ritual is there. Ritual has significance. But what it really comes down to when we want to really renew ourselves, it's spirituality. And every time we wake up in the morning, we thank God that we're another day above ground. Just that grateful attitude, that grateful energy, that's renewing right there. Because you could just hang on to all that baggage from yesterday, and you're not really renewing. You know, you're making choices that you're just creating your own history again. You're creating what you've already done, what you already know. So when we're thankful, and when we meditate, we kind of become a little bit more responsive and more receptive to the universe and everything that is a thing, everything, all of nature. We're more receptive to it, and we're also more creative, because we're using our full brain. And that's one of the effects of meditating. So I would encourage all cultures, all tribal cultures that are indigenous, to water their roots. Water their roots. Go water your roots. Meditate. I know my tribe, you know, we We get up early in the morning when that sun comes up in the morning. And there's these prayers that we have. It's a time we use our pipe and we greet that sun. It's like those first moments the sun comes up above the horizon. It's like the nectar of the day. And we have times where we go and wait for that time in the morning to get that nectar of the day, those first sunlight rays. And of course, I'm talking, I'm from the high plains. Since I've been out here, I think I've seen the sun 3 times. But anyways, I tried my first oyster. I like it. But anyways, not to get too far off track, I was asked to come here, and I was really open to do it, and I'm glad we're in this room here doing this. Because I have children and because I have grandchildren, I want to do my best, as many days as I have on this earth, I want to do my best to contribute to the mind environment, because the mind environment is so important when we think of our children, even ourselves. Our mind environment and however we subject ourselves, we got to become discerning as parents. We got to teach our children how to become discerning, because the mind environment, there's things out there that affect our thinking, our feelings, and how we behave, and it affects us, how we think of ourselves, how we feel about ourselves, how we behave. That mind environment, we've got to be kind of keep an eye on that, And every time our children are inside our home, put a lot of good things on your children, just because when they go out that door, you want them to come back home safely, and you want those good things to stay on them out when they leave the house. So those are just, a few small teachings that were impressed upon me by my elders, And so they would tell me, greet the day, and that time of the day when the sun is coming up, meditate at that time. And so you have all these teachings that we have, and when it comes to the meditative traditions, the benefits are just really phenomenal. There's actually a time in the evening when the sun is going down and you're meditating. In fact, both times when the sun is coming up in the evening and the sun is going down, there's actually lithium in the air. And you could breathe that in, oxygenate your body, breathe that in, oxygenate your brain that time of the day, meditate, you become a little more receptive to, just really connected to everything that is a thing, and become more spiritual. All that emotional reactivity, all that personal stuff, taking things personal, what people say and do, become immune to that, and just really create, make that spirituality inside of you, that voice is getting louder, to be more spiritual, and be spiritual. And I think there's a way we pray, and I'd love to teach that. I love to contribute to this college here, there's like this life cycle prayer I'd love to teach, how to balance yourself and how to center yourself and how to ground yourself. And I call it the 7 gifts that we can use each day. And all tribe, it's really universal, this life cycle prayer. It's a cyclic worldview that we have as indigenous people. And I'd love to someday, maybe next time, next interview, whatever, just contribute, be able to, we can all share a way to pray. And it's simple. And it's kind of like method to the madness.